Jim O'Neill just retired as the head of Goldman Sachs Asset Management.
So far this decade, China is actually still growing by more than I've assumed, despite the fact it's slowed. So China's a disappointment for people who thought the drug of 10% growth had gone forever. But I would suggest anybody that's looked at it closely might not be so disappointed. What happens in China is the single most important thing that happens for the world this decade. Even with it slowing, China is creating huge impacts on the world economy. I've assumed this decade China will grow by 7.5. So far, the first 2 years of the decade, it's grown by 8.3. 7.5% for China is equivalent to the US growing by 4 or less. The US has not grown by 4% for any decade in my life. So if China grows by 7.5, its global impact is bigger than if the US grew by 4, which it's never done. To put it into some specifics, China in 2011 created another Spain that year. It creates another Greece every 13 weeks. As I joked to a number of people about during the Cypriot mess, by the time the Cypriot banks opened again, China created another one. And within the BRIC thing, I only discovered this myself when I was preparing some charts for the last event I was at GS. Since the end of 2010, China's created another India. So my first big point is what happens in China is huge. China gets it really badly wrong, that's going to be a really big new negative for the world. China gets this transition right, it's fantastic for the world. One of the things that is great about China is the Chinese authorities worry about all this stuff and more that you've cited than you do. And what I love from my experience of being in finance for over 30 years, I like countries where the policymakers worry. The place that I really worry about is where they don't. And I love going to Beijing with people that have, I think of, as I'm saying it, a few famous hedge fund kind of guys that I've been to Beijing with. And at the end of the first day, they're like, oh my God, this is a disaster. They're all worried about everything. I said, well, you know, isn't that good that they're focused on those problems? And so, of course, they have these huge challenges, but the policymakers are focused on a lot of them. The thing that worries me is one of the most basic things. If you delve into the five-year plan, which is governing what they want to do in this transition, they talk a lot about trying to support more creativity and knowledge-based growth. How do you do that without giving 1.3 billion people more individual choice and freedom? And at some point, that is the thing that's going to probably be the biggest problem.
We're joined by Chris Saul. He's a senior partner at Slaughter and May. Of course, Slaughter and May is one of the so-called magic circle firms here in London. It's probably the most prestige law firm in the UK, if not in Europe. The assumption is that China will become at some point the hegemonic nation. You know, a lot was made about Japan in the 1980s that it would become eventually the number one country, and of course it's had two lost decades. You're investing a lot in that region. What makes you so confident that China will continue to grow reasonably well and be a fertile ground for firms like your own? And what could go wrong?
Well, let's start there. I think what could go wrong is this. We've seen growth expectations slip to 7.5% for this year in China. That had quite a ripple effect on the markets. And there is clearly some danger that may, if you like, reverse snowball, and so that will be a trend, and people will lose faith somewhat. The other challenge that China is likely to face is succession. So, number one, query, can they sustain economic growth? Number two, managing succession. Number three, as a society, will it evolve, and will elements of society there say we actually want more voting say, if you like? So the challenges, I think, are some not insignificant challenges. And I don't know if you're a Will Hutton fan, but Will Hutton, who's a rather left-wing journalist, has some doubts about whether all of that is stable. My view, for what it's worth, is that there will be some protests, and there'll be challenges along the way, and I think that there will need to be some some changes in the parliamentary structure, but I think that they will manage to sustain growth. So
But as you're well aware, first of all, growth will probably go around to 5.5%, you know, as more years go by, as the economy gets larger. At the same time, as their per capita income continues to rise, you know, studies show at a certain point, I think it's about $10,000, that people do want more democratic institutions. And the raison d'etre for the Chinese government is to remain in power. And they're very sensitive to any sort of unrest. But at some point, they have some very tough choices ahead.
Absolutely agree, Todd. You know, and that is why, you know, Will does say, he writes books on it, there'll be a China Spring, 3 to 5 years. Read my lips is what he says. And the question really is whether there is enough descanting that can and will happen by the government in China to make sure that that doesn't happen. My hunch is yes, because there's too much to lose, to be honest. So I think there will be elements of democratization that will sustain forward momentum in China.
James Palmer, he is the senior partner and chair of the Global LLP Council at Herbert Smith Freehills. China, very challenging legal market.
Yes. Well, China's a very important legal market for us. We were very fortunate to be one of the early, very strong firms in China, so we've done very, very well there. And I get a degree of satisfaction from meeting colleagues and competitors around the world who say, oh, we have find it very difficult to do well in China. We have, you know, touching wood, done very well in China. But it is a challenging market in part because it's actually quite a sophisticated market. And there are quite a lot of barriers to international firms operating in China. That's a model the Chinese government has adopted. I'm not criticizing it. It's a political decision, and many would say that's a smart decision for China. It does make it hard because the local work international firms can't do. The local work has to be done by a local firm, but obviously international firms often go in helping their clients there. China is also a market that is an outbound market, and that's where we've been particularly active.
You're obviously making a very big bet on the Asia-Pacific region. A lot of chips on the table that will continue to work out for you. What could go wrong? I'm not talking from an internal standpoint, but you know, what are the risks? For instance, we're seeing China starting to slow down.
Yeah, China's slowing down, but that's the kind of slowing down that I wouldn't mind having. I mean, slowing down to 7% growth would be something that the West would crave. I mean,
but everyone makes assumptions about Asia Pacific being the future. What could go wrong?
There are clearly different social and political stabilities in different markets around the world, and newer, faster-growing markets tend to have greater volatility. So I grew up in Hong Kong, so I'm very interested in that market. And if I'd been an even better student, I might have ended up doing postgraduate Chinese. I was very interested in it. So I think that I think there are social issues of markets where there's not democracy, for example, where the introduction of greater education, of greater awareness, of greater capital, is driving social change, social pressures, which can create regulatory instabilities. I think that one of the really major challenges for international law firms is, in 50 years' time, are the current cadre of international law firms going to be the leading players in the Asia-Pacific market, or is it going to be Asia-Pacific-led law firms? And so I think there are a series of challenges there. All you can do is think them through, make risk assessments, dig in, try and work out how to differentiate and do it better.